Jews. The Jewish people, first of all, he was a Jew. Paul was a Jew. The New Testament is a Jewish book. But first of all, what happened was it was then given to those 3,000 people at Pentecost. Mainly, it was Jewish audience. But guess what? From all the nations of the world, the seed of Abraham is. Every nation. And so every nation is grafted in by faith in Christ into that one vine, which is now the church of the living God. The Israel of God, the New Testament talks about. This is why a lot of people get very confused when they mix the Old Testament with the New Testament. There's so much confusion in the church because they haven't grasped basic history and the basic tenets of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And what I want us to understand this morning is this. You have a covenant with God, okay? It's a strong thing. We're not into religion here this morning, okay? This is not about dead religion. This is not like a nice little, we're going to have a nice little quiet sermon. I'm not giving you a nice quiet sermon here, okay? You're not having that from me. I'm telling about you about your covenant rights as a believer in Christ, okay? So there's covenant rights that we have as believers in Christ. And God, who established that, wants us to be people who put our faith in the covenant that he's given us. The strongest thing that man had was a covenant. The Jewish people had a covenant with God, and that was a covenant cut with blood. It was done in the temple. And when that temple was destroyed, why was it destroyed? Because there was another covenant cut with blood. It was the covenant that was cut with the blood of Christ on the cross. For without the without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. But because of Jesus' shedding of the blood, there is the remission of sins. It's a stronger covenant. It's a better covenant. And that covenant, my precious brothers and sisters, you are part of it. It's yours. It's yours. Okay? And my goal this morning, okay, is to get everyone here to say, it's mine. This covenant is mine. I'm not just someone who has a nebulous belief. You know, it's a sort of nebulous belief in God. No. I have a covenant with Almighty God. There's a big difference, okay? You talk to some people that you believe in God. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Oh, well, then you're one of us. Not necessarily. We've got a covenant with God, okay? And it was cut with his blood on the cross. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so, my precious brothers and sisters, we come to the book of Hebrews, and we go to chapter 11 and verse 1, and it says this: Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives substance to things hoped for. You see, hope doesn't have substance. It's gonna get rich this morning. We're going to get rich, everyone. Who likes some rich teaching? It's rich teaching going on this morning. Just getting started. I'm getting excited myself because I know what I'm going to say. Woo! But faith gives substance to those things you're hoping for. In other words, what God is saying here in Hebrews 11:1 is that faith is taking hold of the unseen realm of hope. Faith takes hold of that unseen realm of hope. And it brings it into reality. It brings it into reality for us to experience. Okay? So, I want us to look at Romans 10:17. It says this. Because faith, we know, grows out of the Word of God. So when some people, you know, they say, well, I don't have so much faith. Well, guess what? If you don't have so much faith, you need to grow the faith. How do you get faith? Well, let's look at Romans 10:17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And another translation of Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the warranty deed that the thing for which you have really hoped for is at last yours. Our text says the evidence of things not seen in the New King James Version. But so we find out then what faith is, and we find out how we get faith from those verses in Romans and Hebrews. And, you know, you may have, by way of an illustration, you may have hope, okay, for finances to meet a particular obligation. But faith gives you the assurance that the money will be there when you need it. There's a difference between hope and faith. You may hope for physical strength to do a job or something that's set before you that you've got to do. You hope that you'll be able to do it. But faith applies the word of God, and there's no doubt in it. Faith says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid, for example? In other words, faith says the same thing the word of God says. I want you to read that. Write that down if you can, and then read it over and over and over. Faith says the same thing that the word of God says. Faith says the same thing that the word of God says. You see, we live in a country where we have got people used to religion. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. Most people attend church, they're used to not receiving from God. That's just the truth. They sort of receive, but it's a little bit, it's a sort of, you know, every night I pray the number. I pray the Lord, I'll hit the number. You know, it's that type of, it's not Bible-orientated faith. It's a sort of, it's not taking it from the word. And God wants us to take it from the word. What is it that you need? Take it from the word. So faith is speaking what the word is saying about a certain subject, regardless to how you feel. Faith is not logical. It's not contained to the realm of logic, my friends. Okay, if you want to think things logically, if you want to understand how this works, you're going to miss it. Because faith is higher. It's in the supernatural realm, not the natural realm. The natural realm will have you low down here, thinking by your reason, thinking by what you think is sounds reasonable. So if I can think it, then I can understand it, and then it'll be then I'll get that. No, it doesn't work like that. Faith is saying, I don't need to understand it. I don't know how this thing works. I just believe. And then what happens is you receive, you see, from that belief. And so it's a case of sometimes jumping out. You just have to jump out and say, you know what? Guess what? I'm going to believe. I choose to believe. I'm not going to wait until I understand it. I'm not going to wait until I can reason it out. I'm just going to choose to step out and be completely unreasonable. Sometimes faith is completely unreasonable. God wants people, you know, who'll be completely unreasonable at times. He wants us completely out of reason, out of the realm of reason. What are you believing for? How does God make the dreams that are in your heart come true? How does he do it? He doesn't do it by working through your reason. He does it by faith. And when you can believe for something that's deep within your heart, something that's really penetrated inside of you, it's a dream in your heart, and God wants you to appropriate it. But how do you get that dream that's in your heart? You don't get it by reason. God doesn't get you to go down a road of reason. He gets you to jump by faith into that thing and appropriate it by faith. And this is what I'm trying to convey this morning, my precious brothers and sisters. Now, unbelief on a subject, we've got to talk about unbelief, everyone. Unbelief is really taking sides against the word of God. That's what it is. Unbelief is really taking sides against the word of God. And the sad thing about it is there's so many people who are talking doubt and unbelief. They line themselves up with doubt and unbelief. And those who are taking sides against the word of God. This, you know, and then they wonder, well, you know, the word of God isn't working for me. Well, of course it's not working. You've not lined your speech up with the word of God. You're not lining your thinking up with the word of God. It won't work unless you line your thinking up and your speech up with the word. For the word of God to work in our lives, we have to align ourselves to it to the degree that we speak it, to the degree that we think it. That's how this thing works. If we're not speaking it and thinking it, we're not lined up to it. We're not submitted to it. But when we submit to it, when it's submission to the word of God, when we're thinking along the right lines as the word of God is thinking, when we're speaking the right way, like the word of God teaches us, now we're aligned to it. Now we enter into a realm. I'm going to whisper it because I want you to really try to hear this. The realm of all things are possible. You couldn't hear it. It's a realm of all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. That's how we get there. And I'm telling you this morning, I know this morning, you know, like I knew this morning, you know, when I came to church this morning, I was in the car worshiping God. And in the car, the Lord whispered a couple of things to me. I've told you about one of them. I'm going to tell you about the other now. One of the things the Lord told me was sing the battle hymn of the Republic. So I walk into the church. I walk to here. I looked up. I said, Mark, have we got the battle hymn of the Republic? Louise is standing there. And she goes, she said, I was going to ask you to sing the battle hymn of the Republic. We've never sung that hymn in the church ever once before, as far as I can remember. That's the first time we've ever sung it, ever. What's the chances? It's not chance. It's God. Okay? There was something else the Lord told me. Do you know what he told me? He said this. So I'm using that as a proof to what I'm telling you is coming from God, okay? You couldn't get stronger proof, okay? So if you don't want to accept this, then, you know, I'm going to be silent. This is, okay, the other thing he told me was this. People this morning in the church, there'll be people there this morning in the church who really need to grab a hold of this and who will grab a hold of this. So I'm excited because I know there's going to be testimonies based on what's going on right now. I know there will be. And I don't know if you're one of them, but I hope that you are. This gets me excited. I know this, but it gets me excited even when I'm looking at it. I've seen the reality of this in my life. So I'm sharing from the reality, okay? So God's word won't work for you if you take sides against it. So never take a side against the word of God. If you want God's word to work for you, you must side with it. And the question is now, and I just want to highlight this. When you side with it, you have to take the side of faith, not hope, if you want to receive something in the present. So faith is present tense. Hope is always future tense. Okay? So faith is the substance, the title deed, the absolute assurance, the reality of things which are hoped for, okay? It gives you the reality. Now, if you go to someone, let me give you an illustration. If I was to go to someone, and let's say they needed healing, and if I said to them, what would you like prayer for? Say, I want to be healed. Do you believe you're going to be healed? I hope so. Well, you're in hope. That's future tense. That's not it. You see? This is a journey, my precious brothers and sisters, that each one of us needs to make in life. So it's the journey of hope, from hope to faith, okay? So when if I say to you, You need finances for that. What you want to buy a house? Or you want to buy a house? You think you're going to get the finances for the house? I hope so. Well, you're not in faith. It's the difference. Look, I'm not talking here from theory. I'm talking from experience. I've got testimonies after testimonies. I think most of you have heard some of my testimonies. Remarkable testimonies, okay? Supernatural testimonies. And I want you to be blessed with great testimonies. And so does God. That's why he told me there's going to be people who are going to hear this morning and they're going to apply it to their lives and they're going to have testimonies. Amen? So this is what happens. When someone says, are you going to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Say yes. And they say, are you going to be healed? Don't say, I hope so. Say yes. In Jesus' name. Now, your logical mind will tell you, you can't say that. You can't say that because you don't know. That's the journey of faith. You're right, you can't say that in the natural. You can't say that in the natural mind. You can't get there with the natural mind. You can't make that journey in the natural mind. But you can make that journey. You can definitely make that journey with faith. With faith, you can make the journey. And it's faith that's needed to make the journeys of life. The adventures of faith. God's called us to walk. How's he called us to walk? From faith to faith, from faith to faith. My walk is a walk from faith to faith. I'm walking from faith to faith. I'm not walking from reason and understanding to reason and understanding. You must be joking. Hey, have you seen most of the churches in Britain? They're doing that. How's it working out for them? You see what's going on? You're joking me. We're not into that. We're into Bible faith. We're following Jesus here. Are you with me? And so I want our people, okay? Our people, us, okay, we're the Israel of God. Listen, we're the Israel of God. Say it like Israel of God. Israel of God. Say it with some fire in our stomachs. We're the Israel of God. We're the seed of Abraham. Seed of Abraham. That's who we are. And look, I'm not talking about pride. I'm talking about... It's not pride and fleshy. I'm not talking about pride and fleshy, but I am talking about some spiritual oomph, some spiritual va-va-voom. Okay? It's a technical word. You find it in the Greek. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about, like, God has called us to be ambassadors of Christ. He's called us, the Bible says, to reign in life. He's called us to be the head, not the tail. He's called us to walk in victory. He's called us to speak to mountains. He's called us to believe and receive. He's called us to believe and receive. He's called us to believe and receive. He's called us to believe first. First of all, you believe, then you receive. You say, well, that's illogical. Yeah, that's right. Totally illogical. We need to get unreasonable. Look, will you please get unreasonable? Stop being so reasonable. Give yourself a good slap in the morning and say, enough of that reasonable stuff. I'm going to get a bit out there. You know, get out there. You know, He wants us out there. He wants us to speak to mountains. Listen, when Jesus comes, he didn't say, look, be reasonable, just be quiet and be reasonable and be ever so cerebral in your thinking. That's not Jesus. Jesus says, faith as big as a mustard seed can move the mountain. Jesus was a strong man who gives strong teaching. Hallelujah. You're getting this, brother, aren't you? Amen. Hallelujah. He can't sit down. He's got to stand up because he's getting it. Hallelujah. He's standing up to receive it. Good man. Good man. That's right. That's the right. That's right. Now watch this, okay? Some people say, well, God, I want to be healed. God knows I want to be healed. God knows I want to be healed. Well, you could want a new Rolls Royce. Don't mean to say you're going to get one. You can want all you like. Want doesn't receive. Oh, but I want, I really, really, really want. And God knows what I want. Yeah, he knows what you want. He doesn't give you what you want. He gives through a work of faith, not wants. I'll tell you, if God gave according to want, there'd be no poor people in the world. There'd be no starving children in the world. There'd be no disease in the world. There'd be no need for hospital. If God gave according to wants, there'd be none of that. But he doesn't give according to want. He gives according to faith. And it's the people of faith, you and I, we've got a responsibility to receive. This is not just an optional extra. We've got a responsibility to receive so that we become testimonies and people who know us say, hey, how come your life is going so well? How come your life is the way it is? How come? And we have a testimony to share. And we do have testimonies in the church, as you know. And you have testimonies, praise God. But there's more to come. More to come. And he wants us thoroughly equipped with the word of God that it produces in our lives. So just wanting something from God won't get the job done. If you know, that just doesn't do it. What it says is, though, the Bible is very clear, and I want us to go now to Jesus' words and read them very plainly, okay? So come with me now to the book of Mark. Let's go to Mark 11, please, and I want us to go to verse 24 of Mark 11. Verse 24 of Mark 11, and it says this, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. It gets me. I tell you what, every time I read it, it gets me excited. Oh, I get excited. Precious brothers and sisters, what a gospel. You know, they call the gospel, gospel. You know what it means, gospel? You know what it means, don't you? Good news. Well, it doesn't get much better than that. Believe. It says believe and you receive them. But notice the order. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. That's the operation of the thing called faith. And you shall have them. I mean, I've had to do that many times in my life. Many times we've had to do that. I remember, you know, in the old church building, let me give you an illustration. We were in the old church building, okay, and we were moving from the denomination. And we needed to find about £250,000. Now, we didn't have anything like that in the bank. And in the natural, you know. So how do you do it? This is so I'm there as the pastor. And we're leaving the denomination, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I don't, you know, I hope I've done the right thing, Lord, please, and I'm praying, and I go to the church in the morning, and then we're negotiating, we find this amount, and oh, dear me, it's so much, and I look at the account, and I, oh, no, Lord, what are we going to do, what are we going to do? And you know how the Lord led me? He leads me into faith, Okay, so I want you just to know, I'm not talking about theory here. I'm talking about what's happened. We've seen it over and over again. This is just one example. But what happened was, go into church and say, well, it's God's church anyway. Enough of that worry. The Bible says, do not worry. So put that to one side. That's not right. So I'm not going to worry. Park, get rid of that. Now, the next thing what I've got to do is believe. Now, does the word believe there, does it say believe within a certain sort of framework? You know, are there limits to what you can believe for? It says all things are possible. It says believing you shall receive, even to move a mountain. Well, guess what my mountain was? £250,000. I had a mountain of £250,000. That's what we had. It was a mountain. So how? What do you do? Well, you just, that's all I did was, I just went and I just said, you know what? I know that I'm right before God. I know that we've done the right thing. I know that we've not been wrong. I just know that this has been right. I know that we're right before God. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you prove your word. The fight's not mine. I don't need to think about how I can get the money or try and coerce people. You know, some churches, have you been to a church and the pastor has about 7 different collections and, you know, and he's coercing the people, trying to squeeze about every money from the people. You notice we'll never do that. We'll never do that. You know why? We're walking by faith. And if you give, I promise you, you'll be blessed. But if you don't, it's okay. It's your business before God. It's not. It's okay in the sense that it's not my business. Your life is your life. I just have the opportunity to teach and be, you know. But here's the thing. I just said to the Lord, Lord, it's your church. The mountain is there, 250,000, and I thank you for the money. I praise you, Lord, for that money. I thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now, my mind was trying to get me into thinking, well, how are you going to get the money? Well, don't be so foolish. What are you thanking him for? How are you going to get £250,000 just like that? How are you going to? That's what my mind was trying to do. But I'm not going to bow to my mind. Are you listening? Think of it, everyone. I wasn't going to bow to my mind, to the limits of my mind. I'm not going to bow to the limits of my mind. So I said, okay, I'm going to accept the money because I know that God can provide. He's told me in the Bible that he will provide. If I exercise faith, he's going to provide. That's what he does. So I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the money. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. And I started just to thank him and praise him for the money. And I thanked him and praised him for the money all the week. And it didn't take about it was a very short period of time. We had all the money. Now, in the natural, impossible. Impossible. I'm talking weeks. I mean, it wasn't long. All the money. Ha-ha. Ha ha, Mr. Devil. Ha ha. Me and my God, we're a majority. God told me I can speak to mountains. May not be possible with. Hey, listen, that's not possible with boring dead religion. You can't do that with boring dead religion, but with a living faith, you can do it. Amen. And you know, and there's things that God has got, there's things in your life going on right now that God is saying, listen, employ faith. Come on, employ your faith. Come on, employ that faith. Make it work. Make that thing work. Say, I'm not going to be a victim. I'm not going to be weak. I'm not going to be impoverished. I'm going to employ faith. I want to make it work in my life. Faith work. It's mine. I'll have it now. I'm taking it. That's totally unreasonable. That's right. I'm taking it. Okay. Do you get what I'm saying, everyone? I'm taking it in faith. It's mine. That's why I like that song, you know, so much. It's mine. I'll have it now. It's mine. I'll have it now. In the Word of God, it's written, Jesus heals my sins and sicknesses. It's mine. I'll take it now. Take it. Amen. Now, listen. Matthew 21, 22 says something very similar to Mark 11. It says, Matthew 21, 22, I'm commissioned a necklace to be made with this. I don't have it with me today, but I had a nice necklace made with this scripture on it. All things are possible. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Jesus didn't say whatever you ask for in prayer, hoping you shall receive. Notice he didn't use the word hoping there. He says believing. Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. If you want to know whether you're really believing God or if you're just hoping, I can tell you how to tell the difference. You want to know? You can do a test on yourself. Hope is always future tense. Hope always looks to the future. Well, I hope I'll receive it. Well, I hope I'll be healed. Well, I hope, I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping. That's not going to get it. You've got to make the jump from hope to faith. Faith receives. Faith is a receiver. Hope is future tense. Now, hope isn't a bad thing. The scriptures that talk about hope. Hope can be a good thing at times. We have a hope for Jesus and his soon coming return. That's a hope. So hope is a good thing. But if you want to receive, you've got to get into faith. Okay, everyone? Now, God's got plans for you in your life. God put a dream in your heart, brother and sister. God put a dream in your heart for various things, okay? He's put dreams in your heart. Now, most people, okay, die, and those dreams are never met. Why? Because they didn't employ faith. Now, if that dream is still in you, if as I speak right now, you hear my voice, and you and those things have been recalled to your mind, those things that you've had in you, and they've been recalled to your mind right now, I'm asking you, do this, please. Exercise faith for those things. You'll see what God can do. Amen? You'll see what God can do. There's a call on you. Exercise faith for that call to do what God's called, and it will happen. It's going to happen, but just got to be in faith for it, not hope. Hope is just always putting it forward. Faith receives it now. It's mine from this moment on. It's mine. I walk in it. It's very clear. You know, Ephesians 2:8, it says this: by grace you are saved through faith. Through faith. You know, if you want to get someone saved, you say, hey, you want to be saved? Would you like to come to know Jesus? Oh, well, I hope so. No, hope won't do it. Hope is future tense. You want to be saved? Yes. Well, now then, you're going to pray this prayer? Yes, now. Pray it now. That's faith. Hope for is future. You see what I mean? It's very important. Hebrews 11:1, you know, we're talking about now faith is. Notice it's the sentence starts with now. Now faith is. Praise God. That's the reason the word isn't working for some people, you know. They're living in hope. They think that they're being good Christians by being in hope. They have not got their believing in the right tense. It's got to be in the present tense. Some are always believing that God will do something for them. It sounds good, sounds religious. It's not the way God works. What God is, present tense. Not future, or God's going to do something. God's going to put it in the future tense. God is now, present tense. Now faith is, present tense. The difference between hope and faith. Let me explain something when it comes to healing, okay? Faith that believes he's done something and is doing something right now. That's the faith that receives. So, for example, in 1 Peter 2:24, okay, it says this, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes he were healed. By whose stripes he were healed. Past tense. By whose stripes he were healed. Past tense. That means that we appropriate it in the present. It's happened. It's already happened. We can appropriate it right now. Someone said this one time, okay? Someone said, well, doesn't that scripture promise me healing? No. That scripture doesn't promise you healing at all. No. It tells you that healing belongs to you in Christ, in the new covenant. It's a difference. It's not a promise of healing to come. It's now. Because I'm a covenant believer. I am in the new covenant, and now I can receive because I'm in a covenant with God. Oh, what a difference. You know, I mentioned a few weeks ago about, remember the Full Gospel Businessman's meeting? I said about that woman who had the stroke, and the woman with the stroke, and remember I said she was like this, she had a stroke on one of her sides, and she was carried, she hadn't walked for years, she was carried in front of me, and put here by two blokes. He transferred her from a wheelchair and just put her on a chair in front of me. Okay. Now, I'd just given an hour-long testimony about why we're on the front page of the newspapers because of the miracles, because of the healings. And I give this hour testimony. And you know, the first person they put in front of me, it wasn't that little ear problem or a little tiny thing. It was this woman who hadn't walked for years, and you pour in front of me. I thought to myself, well, now we're going to see. But what I had to do was make sure I was in faith, present tense. So when I went up to her, notice this is as similar as you find in the book of Acts. Remember when the beggar was outside the gate? Silver and gold we don't have. Well, what we do have, we do give you in the name of Jesus. Rise up, walk now. Present tense, right now. That woman, I say, you believe in Jesus? In the name of Jesus, I command healing to this body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, now. And her body went like this, melted. The stroke melted off. That's the only way I can describe it. All the people this side of the room, in the hotel in the center of Wigan, all of the people in this side of the room, they all cheered because they could see the face melt, the stroke melted off her. The other people on the other side, they couldn't see that. So I noticed all the people were cheering from this side. They were cheering. Like, whoa! Well, you would, wouldn't you? Then I said to her, would you like to walk? She looked puzzled. She'd been in a wheelchair for years. Would you like to walk? She just looked puzzled. I thought, I'll step in here. Walk in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Took her by the hand. She stood up and walked. And she's walking around like this, just taking little baby steps she was. But she was going like this, walking all around the room, praising God. Hallelujah. Now, you see, that was because I was in the present with faith. Notice I didn't say, oh, well, let's pray and we'll see if God wants to heal you. Let's pray and we'll see if God wants to heal you. I didn't say that, did I? I know God wants to heal. Why? The Bible tells me so. Go and preach the gospel and heal them of their sickness and disease. It's a commission in the New Testament. I didn't need to ask, oh, it's a puzzle. Oh, do you want to heal her or not? She, of course he wants to heal her. But she needed to get that faith, understanding in her. She needed to get it, and she got it. As soon as I said, walk in Jesus' name, it just ignited faith in her. It's an amazing thing, faith. Because faith is like it's the power of God. So when faith is ignited, really, you know, it's what it does is it's like an explosion. And it just goes off and it just boom. It just goes off and it changes things. And it doesn't take long. It's just a quick thing. It's just immediate change. Complete change immediately. Not a slow progress, just immediate. She couldn't walk, now she walks. Simple. Oh, he's so good. Isn't Jesus so wonderful? I just love Jesus, we love you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We honor you. We worship you and we praise you. Because everything here, it all points to Jesus. Every testimony that I give, it points to Jesus. All these scriptures, they point to Jesus. Everything good in my life, in your life, it points to Jesus. He's the one that we should be worshiping and praising and living for. He's the one who says, I come that you may have life and, you know, have a half-hearted, lukewarm type of life. I've come that you're going to have a lukewarm type of life. No, he didn't say that, did he? He says, I've come that you would have abundant life. Abundant life. I don't know about you, okay, but I want it all. I want it all. I want abundance. I like abundance, you know. I like the fact that in my garden, I got pear trees. I got apple trees. I got damson trees. I've got nut trees. I've got grapevines. I got it all. I like abundance. Much more, in fact. We'll go for more. What a good saying. We'll go for more. We'll go for more. Go for more. Go for more. It sounds good in a South American accent. Go for more. More, man. I want more. I'm going for more. Go for more. Not for the sake of it, but just it's just the way God is. It's no big deal. It's not a big deal. That's not the point. The point isn't more. The point is God's character is that we can have a life without limits. That's the point. He wants us to get to that place where we're in faith, whatever it is, physical need, emotional need, whatever it is, we can receive it from him. Precious brothers and sisters, I'm going to close it there. And I trust that you can receive something from this. If maybe we'll take this further on Wednesday with the teaching on Wednesday evening that we do via the internet. If you want, please, I encourage you, listen, get on those teachings. They're on the WhatsApp thing. I don't know if they've been posted now to YouTube, but we're going to be sorting things out with that so that we can broadcast them as far as we can, because they're making a difference. And I receive things from people, and I just think that we've got to get those teachings out. So stand with me now, and let's make a confession of faith. Let's make a faith confession, everyone. If you want to receive, if there's something, if when I've been preaching this morning, okay, there's been something in your mind, I'm going to believe for that, and it could be that, and that, and that as well, take it down, right? Now, take it now! Don't wait till afterwards, because if you have a cup of tea after and a cake, someone could be speaking nonsense. I hope not, but you never know. Because I'll tell you why I say that. In Mark 4, when the seed is sown in the heart, immediately the devil comes to steal it. Immediately the devil comes to steal it. Look it up afterwards, Mark 4. So don't leave this room without this now. You do it now. In faith, okay? So, okay, let's do this. Let's have this confession for our lives, for the lives of our children, our grandchildren, our families, our friends, okay? Let's do it us. Let's do it now. Heavenly Father, those things that you placed in my mind that I should walk in as a believer, I yield my life to you now. And by faith I take them. I take them. In Jesus' name. And I give you praise, Lord, that I will be all that you've called me to be and do all that you've called me to do through Jesus, my Savior. Amen. Amen. Precious brothers and sisters, we were going to have a song, but Mark, I just think I want to sing this song. I want everyone to sing it and get into their spirits right now. Healing, help me out, everyone, is the children's bread. These are words that Jesus said. It's by faith that you'll receive. I said it's mine. I'll have it now. It's mine. I'll have it now.